Amen. And we pray for him and Sister Linda daily. And I hope you do as well. I'd ask you to open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As always, I request your prayers. I don't want to hop up here and think that I don't need God or anything. I need God. And this is his word, and I want to please him. And I want to glorify him. That's my desire. And I'm sure glad that you're here tonight. And I hope you've come expecting to hear from God. And that the Lord will reveal to us what we need to see tonight. And we'll begin reading in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Heavenly Father, I come to you again, needing you. Lord, I am absolutely empty without you. Father, I need your help tonight. I pray you'd lead through the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to see the truths that you would have to be brought forth tonight in your passages of Scripture here that you've led me to. And Lord, minister to our hearts. Father, we are a people that look for heroes. We have a hero. It's your Son. Father, I pray tonight that you would just use me as your vessel. Help me to communicate what needs to be said. Father, may we all pay attention. And Lord, may Christ be truly glorified and lifted up tonight. I ask this in his name, for his honor and his glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we think about this epistle that Paul had written to the church at Corinth, of course, Corinth had many, many troubles in it. I've joked around when I was teaching on the church in Sunday school, so I don't know that I would ever name a church Corinth Baptist Church. I've been to a Corinth Baptist Church, and it's a good church. But it just seems to have all sorts of problems. And every church has a problem. Any church that I've joined, there's a problem, especially after I joined. But honestly, whenever you have people, there's going to be problems in the church. You're dealing with all kinds of different people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, believe it or not. But God does not want division in his church. And the way that we can have unity in his church is by all agreeing that the Bible is the final authority.
That's right.
That we would go by what the Scriptures teach. And Pastor has made mention of it, especially with the recent events of a famous person being found out of sins. There's people, listen, if we're not careful, we can lift men up. As churches, as followers of Christ, we can lift people up and set them up for failure. Now, we do not control their choices. You don't control my choices. You don't control pastor's choices. But if we're not careful, we can lift men up to the place to where we put them right beside God. God doesn't need anyone next to him. He does not need me. I count it an honor that I can preach his word. I count it an honor that he has put me in the ministry, but I'm nothing. It's all him. And as Paul is addressing this, there were people who were identifying themselves with either him or Apollos or Cephas. And when you think about that, that's causing divisions. Now, back when I was, when I graduated Crown College just across the town here, I graduated. We were missionaries of Spain. We started a thing called deputation. How many of you ever heard of deputation? That's where you go about to these different churches. You present your ministry and hope that they will join with you in supporting you financially, prayerfully, most of all. But you want their support. And, of course, I would send letters to hundreds, if not thousands, of churches trying to get the opportunity to present the ministry that we were going to do in Spain. And they would send you questionnaires. Oh, you got to love questionnaires. And you would fill these out and you would send them to the churches. I had no problem whatsoever with any questionnaire that was asking about the doctrine that I believed. Not a problem. I thought it was wonderful. You need to know what doctrine I have. If I'm going to represent your church in the country of Spain or wherever I'm going to represent you, you need to know what I believe. But then there were other churches that would ask me, what circle are you in? They were meaning, which preacher was I following? And while it might have some importance, my response is, I'm in the circle of Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Sexton was a very famous preacher in the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement. Amen. And, you know, I got a lot of meetings and maybe even support because of his name alone. And God used it to get us to Spain. But there's others because I was not in that circle of people or because I was a member of Dr. Sexton's church at the time, they wouldn't support me because they were too busy seeing who was going to be the next Baptist pope. Hello. Amen. There is no Baptist pope. We don't need a Baptist pope. There are people still on Facebook today vying to be the Baptist pope. And they're trying to build a name for themselves, and they're trying to lift up and get their followers to stand with them and stand with them alone and shun everyone else. That is not the will of God. That's not the will of God. And I want you to understand that. And I'd just be frank with them. I'm not in anybody's circle. I belong to God. God's the one that called me to this. And this is what I want to do. And if they had me, great. If they didn't have me, oh well. But today, even today, we can get caught up with people following certain groups or certain movements because they seem to catch fire. They seem to be doing something for God. And I'm all for ministries doing something for God. What about you? But I also get leery because you may have revival. You may see a great revival, but it doesn't normally last forever. Can I just be honest? I would love to see revival. What about you? And you think about the Apostle Paul here who's writing this letter. Jesus Christ called him to be an apostle, sent him forth, a great man of God, one who knew about being on the other side of God, where he persecuted the church. He put true Christians to death in prison for their belief in Christ. And yet God met him on the Damascus Road and he was saved. And his old life changed, and then God used him to write the majority of the New Testament. What a blessing. What a great thing. And because of that, you would think, hey, yeah, we need to make much of Paul. Paul never wanted anybody to make much of him. Ever. And I want you to consider that tonight, because there are preachers, and Pastor made mention of it this morning, and other times, there are preachers in our country that don't mind you lifting them up, that don't mind you singing songs about them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having your children's choir sing songs about the pastor of a church to worship him? Do not worship any man. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one worthy of honor and glory and praise. Remember Herod when he gave out this great speech and he took all the glory and he received all the honor? What did God do to him? Turn him into worms. Right then and there. Think about it. He didn't mind all the praise. He didn't mind all the accolades given to him. I'm scared to death of him. Now, I appreciate them, and I've told you this before. I appreciate the good comments, but listen, I don't want to ever get to the place where, yeah, it's me. God, strike me dead.
Amen.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to rob my Savior of the glory due to his name. And when you think about what Paul is doing here, he's trying to bring back their attention to the fact, okay, God used me. God used Apollos. God used Cephas. God used all these different people, but it's God that's doing the work. And there should be no divisions as to, well, we follow this person or we follow that person. If you're not following Christ, you're following the wrong person.
Amen.
And that's all there is to it. And I want you to understand that, because too many churches today, and it's not even just an independent fundamental, it's in other churches as well, other denominations. You're going to follow this person. You're going to follow that person. Well, the problem is, when you have a human being being followed, being lifted up, you're setting that person up and yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. Because as humans, we don't always do the right thing.
Amen.
Yes or no? And we need to be honest about that. Paul talked about the struggle, the things that he knew that he should do, he didn't do, and the things that he shouldn't do, he did. Romans chapter 7. I want you to think about that. The struggle, that inner struggle that he had. How many of you deal with that? Well, more of you should. All right? But here it is. You know, we had that inner struggle, and I am prone to fail if I do not follow Christ. If I start to clip my wings from the Lord, say, I got this now, Lord, you can expect it. I'm going to fall, crash, and burn. Any man that does that, any man that comes to the place where he thinks, I've arrived, I've got all this, you need to do what I do, you need to do what I say. Listen, I will do whatever the preacher says so long as the Bible tells me that that's the right thing. And that's what we need to do. That's the way it should be. And so when you think about that, he did say there in verse 15, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Paul reminded them, I didn't die for you. I'm not the one that shed my blood for you. Did Paul shed blood? Well, he did through wounds, through afflictions. But he did not die for their sins. And he wanted to make sure that they knew, hey, whoa, stop. I'm nobody. It's about Christ. It's the Lord. And I think about verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Doesn't the Bible teach us in the Great Commission that you're to go into all the world and preach the gospel? And those that trust Christ, you're to baptize? Absolutely. But that wasn't Paul's focus. Paul's focus was not how many do we have baptized this year. How many stirred the waters of the baptismal? No, his concern was how many people have received Christ. And by the way, he didn't even know the number. I told you a while back, a couple of services a while back, that you know there's churches out there, they'll tell you they had this many people saved that year. They followed in baptism that year, and yet their church couldn't hold the numbers they're talking about. And even if they had at least 10% of those that they said got saved, shouldn't they be in church?
Yeah.
They should be. Amen. But again, we're not here about men. We're not here about lifting up one ministry over the other ministry. We are all in the service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But God did send him, and he made this note in verse 17, to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not with wisdom of words. There are some slick tongue preachers out there. They know how to say things that are so close to the truth that they have you believe it's the truth. And if you're not discerning enough to go and look it up for yourself and study it out, you might fall under their trap. We've got to be very careful about the doctrine that we receive from whoever's preaching. If you're there, look it up. I encourage you all the time, make sure that what I'm preaching and teaching is the truth. If it's not, bring it to my attention. I don't want to be wrong. And I try not to preach anything that I'm uncertain on. Okay? Because that would be foolish. That would be foolish. But here he is. He was sent to preach the gospel. And then he said, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So where is he pointing the focus light right now? Is he putting it on the words that he says, or is he putting it on the cross? We should always bring people to the cross. Bring them to the place where Jesus died, gave his life.
Amen.
He shed his precious blood for us. That's what we need to do. So he is talking about the way it should be, what the focus should be. But then in verse 18, he brings out this information that is very important for us to understand. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You talk to a person that is trusting in their works, they're trusting in their baptism. You talk to them about being born again, and they look at you like, what are you talking about? And it's because they don't know. It's because they haven't been born again. They're trusting in their own good works. And my question always is, well, why did Jesus die? If I could go to heaven by being good, there's no need for Christ to die. Would you agree with that? So why did he die? Because he died. He shed his blood. Well, the thing is, we need to understand that he is the only way we are going to heaven. He even said himself, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yet we have people that are brazen enough to say, oh, no, no. We can get there. We're okay. You're not okay. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hateful. But I am trying to warn you because I love you and he loves you. You're not going to get there on your own. He has to be the way you go.
Amen.
The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us. Did you hear the songs tonight?
Amen.
I've got so much to thank him for. I have a tremendous amount to thank my Savior for. Long-suffering, merciful. I was about ready to shout even louder this morning when Pastor was talking about how the Lord's been long-suffering with him and gracious to him. Listen, I can say amen. Amen and amen. And I can't stop telling you how much he has been merciful to me. But that drives me to want to do more for him. That drives me to want to please him more. Or it should, right? So when you think about that, when you talk to people about the cross, do they get offended? People who say that they're Christians, people who say they believe in the Lord. When you talk about the cross, do they want to change the subject? Why? Why would you want to do that? Because the cross is the only way we can go.
Amen.
We have to come to the foot of the cross so we can look up and see where the one who died for us was. I'm glad he's not still on the cross. Some people keep him there. He's not there. Just keep that in mind, if you will. He goes on to say, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Almighty, loving you and I so much that not only did he create us, he had a plan before he even created us how to redeem us. How to help us to be restored unto him so that we could spend all eternity with him. Did you realize there is power in the preaching of the cross? It gets someone to contemplate if they'll listen. If they'll receive it, God can begin to work. God can begin to draw them to himself. God can begin to let them see, oh, they're in trouble. Oh, it's hopeless without him. And that's what we need to do. Did you know people can go to heaven without me? Hello? You should all know that. You don't need me to go to heaven. But you do need Jesus. We don't need Paul to go to heaven, but thank God he taught us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what we must do in order to be with Christ for all eternity. He never got over his salvation. He never got over the fact that even though he was a persecutor and a murderer of believers, that God saved his unrighteous soul and made him righteous and put him in the ministry. That's exciting when you think about it. When I was in high school, I never thought I would be standing behind a pulpit somewhere preaching. Never crossed my mind. Not once. Not ever. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now remember how wise people are today. They think that a man can be a woman.
Come on.
Why are anthropologists finding more than two sexes when they find the skeletal remains of a person? Just think about it. Maybe it'll help. The wisdom of the wise. You can be an animal if you want to be. You heard the furries, right? That's where we're at, boys and girls. It's scary out there. We are catering to the mentally ill. That's exactly what we're doing. God has given them over to a reprobate mind. That's where we're at today. That's how I'm thinking, Lord, how much longer can it possibly be that you come back? I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? How many of you remember when they passed Obamacare? Am I allowed to say that here? But when they passed Obamacare, our leaders in Congress said, well, you got to vote for it first, and then we'll let you read it. And what did we do as a nation? Our wonderful leaders voted for it, and then we found out what a piece of trash it was. The children of this world are wiser than the children of God. But they're dumb in what they do. Now, I say that it may sound disrespectful, but listen, they're good at deceit. They're good at telling you the story you want to hear in order to get the end of what they are trying to accomplish. And Christians, we fall for a lot of things because we're too trusting. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. As I taught in Sunday school, our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows our heart. And what we need to do, brothers and sisters, is quit looking to the world for our solutions, for our salvation, for our opinions, and we need to look to the Word of God. But God talks about how he is going to make it all foolishness. He has made foolish the wisdom of this world. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. School year started again for most. I hear some are going to school tomorrow, starting their school year. The school is going to push evolution on you. They're going to push God doesn't exist on you. Or you can have whatever God you want. In case you're not going to be fooled by there's no God. Well, God knows what the devil is doing. And he is going to reach people with his word, but we've got to preach it. We've got to take it to people. We've got to share the word of God with people. The foolishness of preaching, he is pleased how it saves those that believe. Now the Jews, they require a sign, verse 22. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Boy, isn't it amazing? All of our institutions, our universities, and they are just showing how brilliant and smart they are. And if you disagree with them, they really think you ought to be thrown in jail. Yeah. Amen. Whatever happened to discourse? Whatever happened to debating? Proving a theory instead of just having a hypothesis? Whatever happened to that? Laziness? Fearfulness? Brothers and sisters, we serve the Most High God. We serve the Almighty. He has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us courage, and he wants us to have a sound mind. But if we keep ingesting the foolishness of the world, if we keep allowing our ears to accept what the world says without question, without proving, without investigating ourselves, we're just going to keep getting worse and worse, and things will get worse and worse. The Bible prophesies that very clearly. The Jews want the sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. By the way, Greeks are everybody else that is not Jewish. Okay? The Gentiles. That's us, the world. And so when you think about that, the world can't understand it because if you haven't realized it yet, most people think they're okay. They realize they have problems. How many of you have noticed that? They don't mind saying, you know, we've all got problems. But they want to think that they're okay with their problems. Well, we have a grave problem. It's called sin. A lost soul that needs to be saved, that needs to be born again. And when you talk to the world about this, they're okay because they think they can get it right just enough that they'll be accepted. Nowhere in the Bible do you see God using a checklist to see whether someone can go into heaven or not because of what they have accomplished. You will only find whether or not they are in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. And if their name has been blotted out, therefore they're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. No matter if they went to church every time the doors were open, if they were just trusting in their works, they're not going to heaven. And it's not their works plus Christ. Please understand that. It's Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. This is something that we must understand, but the world cannot accept that. The world rejects that. But if you have listened to the word of God and received it and believed it, he gives you eternal life. But unto them which are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. When you hear preaching on Jesus, does it ruffle your feathers? Or does it give you excitement in your soul? Does it bring about joy and peace? I've got so much to thank him for. Do you? You sing it, but do we live it? And do we give him that thanks? I praise the Lord for that song and songs like it. Amen? Who am I? That's another one I like. But you think about it. To the world, we are absolutely crazy people. But to God, we're the saved. We're the ones that he has called out of this world to be with him for all eternity. Please think of that. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You ever wonder why they say there is no God? It's because they are wise in their own eyes. If they can deny that God exists, that makes them super smart. And their pride gets fed. Their ego is pet so much. Their heads get so large. Thankfully, we can't see how large their heads really are. They wouldn't be able to walk through the double doors, right? But here it is. God is why the foolishness of God. And by the way, God doesn't have any foolishness. Can I just drop that little note? There's no foolishness in God. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God, is there any weakness in God? The weakness of God is stronger than men. Why does man hate God? Because he's been listening to Satan for way too long. He's allowed Satan to tell him lies, and he eats it up because it pets his little ego, it pets his pride. And he thinks he's something. Whereas we would do best just admit we're nothing and we need him because he's everything. That would do us well, brothers and sisters. For you see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the what? After the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, and hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now here it is, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You think about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. If anyone had a horn to toot and praises to sing about his obedience to God, Abraham had it. But Abraham wasn't trusting in Abraham. Abraham was trusting in the Almighty. Abraham trusted the Almighty so much that when the Almighty told him, take up your son Isaac and offer him up for a sacrifice, Abraham took him. He knew that God was going to raise him from the dead, or God was going to do something. He knew it. Therefore, he had no problem whatsoever obeying God when God told him to do that, to the point where he is about to bring down the knife and the angel stops him. And lo and behold, over in the thicket, there's a lamb, a ram caught in that thicket. On the way up, what did Abraham tell Isaac? God will provide himself a sacrifice. The Lamb of God. Isn't God wonderful? But that makes no sense to a lost person. That makes no sense to a prideful person. They can't see it. They can't understand it because they are all too concerned about boasting and telling people how wonderful they are. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you how wonderful God is. Amen. How gracious he is. The fact that I deserve to be in hell right now for all eternity, and yet he allowed me to have eternal life, he deserves praise and honor and glory. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I strive very hard every time you tell me great message, or I enjoyed that. Praise God. I do my very best to let that be what I answer you. Because whose word is this? It's not mine. I'd have written it differently. I'll just be honest with you. I'd have changed some things. But this is his word. He's the one that leads me, I believe, to where he wants me to teach. What he wants me to preach. Or at least I try to follow him. Have I preached some messages in my own flesh? Oh, yeah. We won't talk about that, though. But honestly, it's his word that I'm preaching. It's not my wisdom. It's his wisdom. It's not my strength, it's his strength. I just get to be the messenger boy. And I'll be the messenger boy as much as he'll let me. I love preaching. I told Lucas the other day, I didn't get it all out, but you know, I'll preach at the drop of the hat, and I'll drop the hat to preach. I just like doing it. I thank God for allowing me to do it. Because I love it. And I love him. And he is worthy of all honor and praise. What you see up here in this shell of a body and standing before you, it's all because of him. Any good you see, that is. All the bad stuff, that belongs to me. But honestly, if God has used me to help you, I praise God. I thank him. But it's because you listened to his word that it helped you. Amen? And this is what Paul is trying to get them to focus on. Listen, it's not me, Paul. Yes, God used Paul to write the majority of the New Testament. Hallelujah. But still, it's not Paul. Paul will tell you that. It's him. It's our Lord and Savior. And we do not need to allow this thing that is going on. It's really Christian politics, if you really want to know about it. That's just the way I look at it. All these preachers trying to get followers after them. These preachers that, and he's right. They'll invite these preachers and say, this is the man of God that you need to pattern your life after. If he says it, you do it. Well, what if he told you something against the Word of God? Hello? There's something we need to consider, brothers and sisters. Amen, amen. I've heard some good preachers, some famous preachers in the times of my ministry. Let me tell you this about a preacher that I lost all respect for. If I said your name tonight, most of you would know him. He was at a meeting that another church that I belong to invited him to. And I had been to a meeting where he just berated a woman, a young girl, in the audience. Because she had a bad look, according to him, a bad look on her face. He called her out in front of the whole audience and just destroyed her. I didn't like it. That's not what we're here for. But as preachers get together after meetings or before meetings and talk, he had the nerve to say this: there's a lot of churches, they don't have me in for what I preach, they have me in for how I preach. I lost all respect for him right then and there. I had another preacher ask me, "Hey, brother, if so-and-so gets up and starts shouting, will you get up and run around the auditorium before the service now?" Does that sound like it's of the Holy Spirit?
No.
You say, "Brother, you're making that." I'm not making that up. We have been, listen, we can get blinded to thinking that all this stuff that takes place in some churches is the Holy Ghost. God said, let things be done decently and in order. And if you've got to ask me to get up so it looks like the Holy Spirit showed up, guess who's not in the meeting? It's the Holy Spirit. And brethren, I learned then, don't follow men. Follow God. And I looked up to a bunch of preachers. I did. But boy, when they say things like that, well, they'll stand up and destroy a person without going to them personally. Maybe she had a bad look on her face. I don't know. I couldn't see her. But I didn't need to know about it. Neither did the whole congregation that was listening to him. And just to stop the preaching and call her out, my goodness, what nerve. What if she was having a bad day? What if she was wrestling with the Holy Spirit about needing to be saved? Amen. Do you think she was going to run up to the altar after that?
Amen.
We need to bring people to Christ. We need to help them to realize it's Him that they need. If God uses me, praise God. If God uses Brother Barry, praise God. If God uses Pastor, praise God. Whoever. I don't care. I just want to see people come to Christ.
Amen.
And we need to give Him all the glory. I'd ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes if you will tonight. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read one more verse. And you can look at it if you want to. You don't have to. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul said this: "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul was saying, it's okay if you follow me, but I'm following Christ. And the whole thing about it was he wanted to make sure people were following Christ and not just him. Are you following a man tonight? Are you following Christ tonight? I hope that we are all following the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not, that's what we need to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, I ask and pray that you would just continue to work in all of our hearts. Father, we do need heroes. But there's only one hero that really matters, and that is your precious Son. Father, we all need to give you praise and honor and glory for what was done. That you allowed your sinless, perfect, only begotten Son to take our sins, the sins of the whole world, upon himself. To have your back turned on him for the first time ever in all eternity, so that he could pay our sin debt for us. Father, thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you want to give us eternal life. You provided everything we would ever need for it, and all through your Son. Father, please work in our hearts and minds as only you can. Help us to contemplate who we're really following. And Lord, if we're following men, help us to stop and help us to follow you. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.